702. SMS Refilwe
on 31702.
So what we do after the 9 o'clock news on a Saturday, we tend to focus on technology and how technological developments will, impact us, good or bad, and just try to sort of hold up what these developments might be, hold them up to the light, try to understand them from as many facets as possible. And today we're having a conversation about cybersecurity awareness, right? October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. A time for internet users to just arm themselves with the necessary knowledge and resources that they need in order to remain safe and secure online, which is increasingly difficult in a hyper-connected world. So we're joined by Brian Pinnock, who is from a cybersecurity company, Mimecast, and they contend that brands would do very, very well to better protect their customers from cyber attacks. According to Mimecast's new research, 75% of South African consumers will stop buying from a brand if they get tricked by cyber criminals, right? So if your brand is associated with a cyber attack of any kind, South African consumers will be loath, reticent, up to 75% of them, to give you another try. So it really is incumbent upon you to make sure that your cybersecurity is jacked and, of course, does not impact your user experience. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast, Brian Pinnock. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Rafilwe.
Sure. South African consumers, according to your research, 75% of them will not give a brand a chance if they have been tricked by cyber criminals. Tell us what that statement means. Phished on your site, that detail stolen from your site. What are the implications of that that statement?
So I think the implications for someone in marketing or someone who owns a company that has an online brand of some kind should really sit up and take notice about that. So what was interesting to us was the survey was actually not just done in South Africa. It was a very broad survey covering the Benelux countries, the Nordics countries, the UK, Germany, Australia, as well as South Africa. And what was interesting is seeing how the South Africans kind of tended to top most of the questions. In very few instances, they were sort of edged out by the Middle East. But mostly the South Africans were very, very well aware of online fraud and cybercrime and that. And then the point that you made there was that high level of people in South Africa would be very reticent to reuse a brand, would actually change brands if their brand was used in a cyber attack. And I think if you dig a little bit deeper, what's even more sort of maybe nerve-wracking, if you are responsible for a brand, maybe you're the chief marketing officer of a financial institution or whatever the case might be, is that even in instances where you're not hacked, in other words, where you know your cybersecurity is absolutely fine, nobody's actually touched you or your systems, but what they've done is they've impersonated your brand elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's child's play to actually do that. I could take a 702 or Cape Talk website, scrape that and create a very similar version, which to most consumers, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Can I stop you right there, Brian? When you say scrape that, right, what do you mean? Yes. So we want to just dismantle a lot of the jargon so that we understand exactly what we're talking about. Yeah.
Apologies, yes. So to scrape something essentially means just to copy it. So I could create a virtually identical copy of, for example, a Cape Talk or the 702 website, mm-hmm. or in most instances, obviously, you're not really involved in sort of interaction with consumers when it comes to transactional.
Yeah.
So if you think about the sorts of businesses that are being targeted, things like healthcare, online banking, entertainment, online retailers, you know, those sorts mm-hmm. of businesses are really going to, you know, and it's really trivial to actually impersonate their brands online. Mm-hmm. And that's really the message that's coming through here. It's not only that it's trivial, but that consumers are going to hold them accountable, even though it's not them that's actually doing it. It's just somebody that's doing it completely away from their normal systems and firewalls and things.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, you know, what you're pointing to is, or what you're alerting us to is, yes, the consumers, we as consumers need to be incredibly alert, especially when it comes to financial services. And here's a mail and a link that I need to click on from ostensibly my bank. But then it turns out that after, you know, the name of the bank, there is, you know, it's not the usual .com. In fact, it is .org.za. And of course, you know, a bank wouldn't have that, that website, that online domain, for instance, right? But because you're trusting of them, you don't pay attention to those small little markers and indicators. But what you're saying is brands also need to be hypervigilant and aware as well. How do brands take care? How do brands watch out for impersonation of this kind, or even, you know, phishing where those emails are sent, for instance, people thinking that this email is in fact from my medical aid?
So the one system is actually relatively easy to do and the other one less so. So when it comes to emails, very few brands actually implement what is called DMARC. And I won't go into the detail of what that is, but essentially what it is a system that prevents people from impersonating the brand in email directly. In other words, sending, again, if you haven't set up the systems correctly, it's relatively easy for cyber criminals just to simply send an email on behalf of your insurance company or your bank or whatever. So not enough brands and not enough organizations are actually implementing very standards-based, very low-cost systems to actually protect them. So that would be step one, is actually just do the basics and do them right.
Mm-hmm.
Step two is a bit harder, and that would be actually having systems like the kinds of services provided by companies like Mimecast that actually scan the web for sites that are impersonating your brand.
Okay.
And that's a service that you have to have ongoing. And once you've found them, the next step is actually finding ways to take them down, because they're typically not actually hosted in South Africa. Those websites are not located physically here. They're actually physically located in other legal jurisdictions. So again, you need the kinds of systems that can make that takedown happen relatively quickly. And that's normally done within a process of hours, unless it's out of Mongolia, which case that can sometimes take several days.
As you said, we don't, you know, as I said, we don't want to get too technical, but what it is quite interesting, the process of getting these taken down for professional companies such as yourself, cybersecurity companies such as yourself, what does that tend to look like? Who are you, you know, the relevant authorities that you are corresponding with?
So it varies from country to country, but essentially what one has to do is monitor the brand coverage, you know, using these kind of advanced scanning capabilities. When you find a brand that's being impersonated, you need to prove to the local regulator that that is actually an illegitimate brand, because maybe it's somebody who's using that brand in that country quite legitimately. So there's quite a lot of legal steps that one has to go through before you can actually issue a takedown. You can't just go, hey, that's my brand in South Africa, I happen to be a financial services provider or a bank or whatever the case is, and you need to take that brand down, because maybe that's a legitimate brand in another country. And they've got every right to use that. So there are some difficulties there, and you need to work through service providers who are doing this on a constant basis around the world. Because as I've mentioned, often what happens is the country that's hosting the website is often not local to where that brand actually even operates. Mm. And the sub-criminals know this, and they do that deliberately because they want to stay up as long as possible.
Yeah. All right. So the other aspect, or the other part of this conversation, is the fact that, you know, consumers are under constant attack from cyber criminals. We know that the more we get connected, the more devices that are online with our names, our passwords, our, you know, we talk about the Internet of Things as this glorious thing, which it can be, and I'm sure is, but the more things that are connected and, you know, linked to our security and our profiles and our details, the more free, you know, just the more opportunities and points of attack for cyber criminals are available. And of course, with this lockdown, with this COVID-19 pandemic and lockdown, and the world suddenly rushing online, right, with no, with this effectively no warning, so many companies, so many brands have gone online, and their employees have gone online, and consumers have gone online without the preparedness that they would usually need or might have in an office environment. Let's focus on the consumers first, Brian. More coming from your own report and these stats, that 69% of South Africans don't hesitate to open an email from brands that they use regularly, and 56 click on links from their favorite brands. Worrying statistics. How should people be thinking around protecting themselves, and what should we do in order to be more circumspect?
So it's a little bit challenging because the brands themselves actually love those statistics because of the fact that if you're a marketing person in a company and you send out an email and you come from a trusted brand, you want the fact that people are going to A, trust that email, and B, click on the links that you're sending out to them. The problem with that, though, is if the cyber criminals also know this, and your point is well made, what's happened now is we've had this tsunami of cyber-type attacks as we've all come to rely more on these digital channels. And what's happening now is the individuals and the consumers now need to be a lot more vigilant. Unfortunately, it's not just a question of knowledge. It's a little bit like speeding. You know, I'm sure you, as well, let me talk for myself, you know, as much as I know that I shouldn't get speed.
Yes, please, Brian.
There are moments where, you know, I most certainly have done that. In spite of all the signposts telling me what the speed limit is, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
So knowledge on its own is not enough. You need that sort of behavior change. But to maybe touch on some points of what consumers can do, there were some quite interesting findings in the survey. And without giving you the actual statistics, because it doesn't really matter too much, it's more the activities, is the kinds of activities people weren't that good at doing was checking the spelling of an email address. You know, was, as you mentioned, was it the right domain? Was it the, you know, was the bank's name misspelled or the retailer's name misspelled? Checking the spelling and the language within the email. Just looking at things like the subject line of the email, or actually just looking at some of the links in the email and saying, hang on, this just looks a bit peculiar, doesn't it? And those are just some very basic steps that somebody can just do with, you know, with the naked eye. And just be a little bit more suspicious and concerned, because this problem is not going away fast. And yes, we, you know, as we said at the beginning of the interview, consumers are expecting brands to actually do a lot to protect them against these forms of online fraud, but you can't rely entirely on your bank or whoever it is. You need to actually also, you know, play a part in that whole aspect of keeping yourself safe.
You know, Brian, I think, and I have not seen any stats related to this. Maybe in your experience, you'll be able to, you know, just weigh in on this. But I often get the sense that when it comes to things like this, especially phishing, right, where you get an email and they're trying to solicit passwords, private information in order to take advantage of you, I often get the sense that, and I've received a few, there's always, even if you aren't explicitly looking for it, you might just be breezing through your emails and you aren't necessarily on guard at that moment. But as you say, when you check the subject line, when you check the writing and, you know, the tone, just how the email is written, you, because it's a brand that you've been interacting with, you understand that tone, that language, that general approach. And every email should rhyme, right? It should always echo a previous experience. It should always echo the same kind of, you know, brand sort of tone and language, etc. And it's that small little feeling. It's not a huge alarm bell sometimes. Sometimes it's just a, I'm not quite sure what's wrong, but I'm unsettled. It can be as small as that. And you look, and that's when you stop and you look at something, you go, I don't trust this. And I wonder if part of that, you know, education, consumer education, should be just that. Trust your gut. You know, you understand the reason you love a brand or interact with the brand is because you love the brand voice, you love the brand story. And if this sudden communication or this new communication doesn't rhyme with all of that you've experienced in the past, go with it and say, I can just delete this, or in fact, escalate it and report it without necessarily opening it or clicking on the link, right? And exposing yourself.
Absolutely. The biggest challenge, though, if you take it from a marketing perspective and distill it to its essence, a brand ultimately is about a promise that whatever that brand is, and then the trust that they will deliver on that promise. That is kind of the essence of what a brand is. And cyber criminals, unfortunately, are tapping into that psychology. They're also tapping into the fact that we've had huge data leaks. So just one example that you can, I won't tell you how, but it's relatively trivial to go onto the dark web and buy the deeds office database, which if you're a property owner in South Africa, has your ID number, your bank that you work with you know, your home address, your phone number, etc. So these cyber criminals have access to a huge amount of initial information, which can lull you into a false sense of security, thinking, well, this is a brand that I trust, or seems to be, and they seem to have a whole lot of the correct information about me, so therefore this feels right. So one has to go beyond that and look for things like urgency. I mean, I was nearly caught this morning with an SMS that said, you know, fastest fingers first. I won't say who the brand was, but if you click on here, you can get a, you know, 35% discount on something that I was actually planning on buying. almost caught myself clicking on the link, and then I suddenly thought, hang on, one of the things that you always need to look out for is if there's some kind of hurry, if there's some kind of urgency with no real reason behind it.
Sure.
And those are the kinds of psychological tricks that the cyber attackers play on us.
Yeah, lots to be cognizant of and aware of all the time as a consumer. So from the consumer perspective, you know, there is a sense that cyber criminals are lurking. They are incredibly, as you said, adept and creative. So they'll try all sorts of ways. In terms of coming across something worrying, Brian, and you just need to verify, what is the best way to go about this? So not clicking on the link, but also finding out, hey, what's going on with you guys? So it's a small business that you support and you've gotten communication from them that you are not feeling good about or unsure about. The best way to verify what's in your inbox?
So the simplest thing to do is to phone. There are all kinds of sites one can go to check whether an attachment or a link is right or wrong. And I can give you those. We can. But really, the simplest thing to do from a consumer, particularly when it's something major, you're about to buy a house or a car or some kind of major purchase, and someone says, oh, our bank account details have changed, phone them. And don't phone the number that's in the email or on the SMS. Phone the number that you have in your phone or that you've looked up yourself independently. That's probably the primary thing to do. If something feels wrong, get hold of whoever that brand may be, and just double-check that this is actually what's intended to happen. And that's probably the most important thing. If you are slightly technology savvy, there's a number of websites that you can go to that you can actually cut and paste the link without actually putting it into, you know, without actually clicking on it and just saying, hang on, is this one real? Mm-hmm. And that actually gives you a good sense of whether something is a scam or not.
Sure. Can you give us a couple?
So there is, now you're asking off the top of my head. There's one that's run, sort of a consortium run by Google, which is good, and my brain is just not coming to me now. It's VirusTotal. Sure, I don't know why that just suddenly slipped over my head. So
no,
you go to VirusTotal.com, and let me just stick with that one because they're all very similar. So VirusTotal.com is a very good site to go to, and it's got essentially two tabs. One, if someone sends you a file of some kind, whether it's an invoice or whatever, you can actually sort of paste that into the site and say, is this actually safe? And the other one is you can take the link and just cut that out of the address bar in your browser and paste that into the site, and it's very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It's not foolproof, though. So one of the challenges that we have, particularly with links, is these phishing sites typically only have sort of a shelf life of about half a day is normally the time. So as cybersecurity companies, we're constantly having to update these lists.
Okay.
And as soon as we find them, we put them into these sites and we share this information with each other. And this is now something that the general public can get access to as well. But just bear in mind, this one might be a few hours old, and you know, we haven't updated the databases yet. So don't fully trust something just because something like VirusTotal tells you that it's actually
okay. All right. Cool. A final finding from your State of Email Security 2021 report, basically saying that, 94% of local organizations admit to being worried about counterfeit websites misappropriating that brand. So I think, as you said, this issue of online security and insecurity and cyber criminals lurking isn't something that's going to go away very quickly. So everybody needs to hop on board. But just finally, Brian, when it comes to how companies themselves and brands can educate their customers, I think there's a little bit more that they can do. I know, for instance, where every single time I hop onto my bank's online to do banking or even using my app, there's a constant reminder that these are the things we won't do in an email or in communication, and that is to ask you for these details, this kind of confirmation, or ask you to click on a link. And that's entrenched in my head, so at least I know they've set up a horizon of expectations at least.
So some industries are very good at this. I don't think anybody's perfect. The banking industry, obviously, because they're one of the most highly targeted industries, is very good at this. Unfortunately, they also fit into the category of the most targeted, which maybe is why they're so good at this, and also fit into the category of some of the most highly trusted brands. Healthcare is also particularly good, but as you go down the list, things like local governments, online retailers, they get less good at actually training us. And I think the reason for that is the financial services brands, their marketing and their cybersecurity work hand in hand because they're so highly targeted.
Mm.
When it comes to the others, I think there's less of an kind of interplay between the marketing teams and the cybersecurity teams. I think a lot of organizations unfortunately see cybersecurity as a bit of a hindrance to getting their job done. And really, it's actually got to become an integral part of how they actually manage their brand online.
Yeah, and we'll have to leave it right there. But thank you so much for those insights. Brian Pinnock is a Mimecast cybersecurity expert.